The third Sunday after the Epiphany. The first lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you once more this morning in the unbreakable name of Jesus Christ. There was a fisherman who went out in his boat offshore to his favorite fishing place out in the ocean. And he was on the water for several hours, and he would cast out a net and he'd pull it in, and there was no fish. So he'd cast it out, he'd pull it in, no fish. And he did that for hours and hours. Well, he decided one more time he would cast out his net. And then he pulled it in and he realized that there was this giant grouper was in the net that he had caught. I mean, this grouper was so big that it was strained against the net, almost breaking the net. And so finally he got the fish on board the ship, or his boat, I mean. And he decided, you know, this thing is so big and I've been out here anyway, I'm just going to quit and going to go back to shore with this big fish. And so he went back to shore and he tied up at the dock there and he was struggling to put the fish on the dock. When another fisherman, a second fisherman, came and tied up at the dock. Now this fisherman had a stringer full of fish, but they were only little fish like this. They had about 12 little fish like that. And so he walked by the dock where the first fisherman was and he looked at the first fisherman and he said, "Only caught one, huh?" Well, as you can imagine, we're going to talk about fishing this morning. Because as Allison just read from our gospel lesson from Matthew 4, it's about when Jesus was walking on the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee looking for people that he could have follow him as disciples. Of course, on the seaside, as you can imagine, there were a number of boats, and on the boats were fishermen. And so our lesson tells us that Jesus saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them and immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Why do you think that all four of those men immediately left all they had? They left their nets, they left their boats, they left their relatives and followed Jesus. Well, we know from last week that Andrew and John were two disciples of John the Baptist. And they heard John the Baptist point out Jesus and say, "There is the Lamb of God. This is God's chosen one." Right? And so, you know, we know that Andrew told his brother Simon, who became Simon Peter, about Jesus. And we can presume that John told his brother James about Jesus too. And so when Jesus came up to them on the boat and called out to them to come out of their boats, they all knew that Jesus was the Messiah come to earth as the people of Israel had been waiting for, you know, many, many years. And they willingly went with him for a greater purpose in their lives, to fish for people instead of just fish. But we also know that reading further in the gospel, they didn't really understand that Jesus was the Savior who had to die so that all of their sins, including all of our sins, could be forgiven. They would learn much more about who Jesus is as they walked with him, as they talked with him, as they lived with him for the next 3 years. You see, Jesus wanted to establish an intimate relationship with these disciples and with everybody that he came in contact with. He was clear at the beginning of that relationship that he had a mission to accomplish. He said, "Come, follow me. I will send you out to fish for people." You know, when most pastors get to that point in our scripture here, they want to make sure that they emphasize that Jesus was calling these disciples, yes, but he's also calling to us too, right? Because we know that he meant by that to bringing people to get to know him on a more intimate basis so that they can receive faith to believe in him as their Savior through the working of the Holy Spirit. And certainly, that's the mission that he's given us all to do while we're in these earthly waters that we're in, right? However, when I read this scripture, as I've read it many times, and I'm sure many of you have too, God pointed out something new to me that I hadn't seen before about this scripture, and I think he wants me to mention it to you today. Don't you just love it when you read scripture over and over again and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit gives you those new eyes so that you could see something that you hadn't seen before in that familiar scripture? You see, the thing I noticed when I was reading this is what the men were doing when Jesus called them. Now, we know that Andrew and Peter were casting their net, right, out into the lake. And the other two were preparing their nets. The first two were actively engaged in their purpose, their job, basically. The other two were preparing to engage. And, you know, it struck me that both of these efforts are necessary for the job to get done. Because, you know, back in my office, I have this book. It's side-by-side translations of Scripture in the New Testament. It has the Scripture from 8 different Bibles here, all in one, right? And so I like it because I can get a quick, full sort of flavor of what a particular passage of Scripture is telling me, right? And so when I looked up this passage, and especially what James and John were doing, I found that 5 of the translations from different Bibles said that they were mending their nets. The other 3 said preparing their nets. Well, I thought the description of mending their nets was more a specific definition of what they were doing. Because we know at the time of Jesus that most of the nets back there were made out of linen. Now, linen you had to take care of. You know, once you finished with it, you had to wash it off. You had to dry it, or it would rot. And it wouldn't be any good. It'd just fall apart. And also, we know that catching fish is kind of rough on nets. And so, occasionally, because of all the fish they would catch, it would get holes in it. And so those holes had to be mended. One of the skills that fishermen had to have back then, and I'm sure they have to have it today, is to know how to mend their nets. Because if a net got a hole in it, the net could fail. And fish would get out of the net, and the net wouldn't be any good for its intended purpose. You see, a net is like a chain. It's only as strong as its weakest section. And so when the weakest section gives way, the net is basically not good as it used to be. Now, I'm sure the fishermen didn't like to spend time mending their nets and taking care of their nets, right? Because mending is not catching. They were all about catching. But it was a necessary task that if they wanted to continue their primary job, their primary purpose. And this metaphor kind of struck me when I read it that, you know, we know that God wants us to be fishers of people too. I mean, Jesus has given us the mandate, make disciples of all nations, right? Our a vision statement. Make lifelong committed followers of Jesus here, there, and everywhere, right? Well, we are kind of, in effect, nets for God, aren't we? Right? He uses us to pull people toward him. He uses us to tell people about him so that they can come to him too, right? Just like a net would come to the fisherman. Now, a small section of net is not much good for catching large amounts of fish, is it? But if you put those small sections of net together, at time after time after time, it becomes bigger. It becomes more useful to God for His intended purpose, which is to catch disciples, to catch people. Well, that's what we are. We are the church together. We are God's nets together. As individual sections, God puts us together so that we are stronger. We are God's nets. That's how Jesus designed us. That's how He equips us to catch more disciples, if you will. You know, it's kind of like Paul said in Ephesians in chapter 4. He said, from Him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And then if you look at his letter to the Corinthian church, he wrote, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And so we, as His church on earth, are designed to be together. We're designed to be supporting each other. We're designed to be caring for each other. We're designed to be helping each other. Well, how do we accomplish that? Through relationships. Through relationships. The church is to be modeled after Jesus Himself. And what did I say that Jesus came to do? He came to build relationships with His disciples and with all of the people that He came in contact with. Those relationships helped people see who He really is, helped the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts so that they could become believers in Him too. Those relationships helped Jesus speak to their hearts and open their eyes as to who He is, and so that He could have a long-lasting impact on those particular people that he was talking to, as well as us today. You know, those relationships helped those disciples stay together when things got tough. Even when they saw Jesus taken away and killed, it helped them hold together as His disciples. Because each relationship is a knot in that net. Now, this brings me to another point. We, as God's nets, we need preparing and repairing too, don't we? I mean, we need to be washed clean, don't we? So that we don't rot, so that we don't become useless to God. Well, how do we become clean? Through baptism. We are washed in the waters of baptism. Our sins are forgiven. When we arise from those waters of baptism, we're clean. And we remember that cleaning every single day when we remember our baptism. Right? But it's also vital for us to strengthen the relationships that we have with each other so that we can hold together for God's purposes. Because life is sometimes tough for us, isn't it? I mean, if we're used for God's intended purposes, which is to bring other people to know Him, we can get worn down. We can get holes too, right? I mean, tell that to any pastor or church worker or dedicated volunteer, right? You can get worn down and you can get holes in them. To do what God wants us to do even if it's just living a faithful life as an example for other people to see what a faithful life is all about, it can take its toll. On top of that, we have other things in our lives that wear us down, like sicknesses, like misfortunes, like betrayals, like disappointments, things like that. All of these things can wear on us and can wear us out. It can make us doubt. It can make us question what our purpose is here. It can even make us question the one who created us. We can become broken and maybe even want to give up, throw away our net. Sometimes we may even want to untie the relationships that we have with each other and just go our own way. But we also know that when we do that, when we're on our own, we're less strong. We're less useful for God's purposes. But God wants us to stay strong. I mean, Jesus knew that when he gave us this purpose for our lives. That's why he gave us his Holy Spirit to live in us, to keep us together, to keep us mended, to keep us repaired, to keep us clean. And that's why he gave us each other. I mean, in this room, in the church. Yes, we need to stop sometimes. And we need to go to the one who can mend us. And that is the master fisherman, God. Mending is downtime, yes. But it's also a time of strengthening us. It's also a time of reflecting on our lives, reflecting on the purpose that God's given us to accomplish for him. It's a time of regeneration. It's a time of repair. It's a time of mending. And such mending can be found right here. Such mending can be found through his church, both the wider church and specific congregational churches. You know, as James wrote in his book in chapter 5, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, the purpose of wanting to be repaired is so that we can be unified once more and we can be a strong net for the purpose that Jesus has given us. But we also know that we're all sinners, and the church is made up of sinners. The church itself can become holy. And by that I mean filled with holes. The Christian church, even the larger church, sometimes needs to be mended. You know, Reformation comes to mind. But then individual congregations, individual church bodies need to be aware of weak spots that they may have too. Like in our second lesson today from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he was admonishing the Corinthian church for the divisions that had arisen within itself. He wrote this, he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. He appealed to them to remember why they're a church to begin with. They were the bringers of the message of salvation that was given to them through Jesus Christ. And Paul ended our lesson today with these words. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it's the same for us today. We as individual members and as individual congregations are also messengers of salvation given to us through Jesus Christ. We can't lead people to Jesus as he wants if we're torn, if we're full of holes. We can't be effective if we throw away the nets and just give up and trying to fulfill the purpose for which we exist. And we can't hold together if our relationship with him or if our relationship with each other is in need of mending, is broken. You know, it's said that, I'm sure you've heard it, that you can't take anything with you when you die, right? Well, I can think of two things that we can take with us. Number one, we can take with us our love. Our love so that we can combine it with God's all-encompassing love, because after all, we know that God is love, right? Well, I think another thing that we can take with us is our relationships. Right? Our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with each other. Because those relationships are built on love too. Jesus came to this earth to mend relationships. The relationship with humanity and God, and the relationship between people and people. He mended the relationship between us and God with his death and resurrection, right? And he can help us mend the relationships that we might need mending between people too. Our future can be secure when we come to relationship with him. And when we do come to that relationship, we are then part of his larger church. That larger church is his net, right? And he'll help us to mend the relationships that we have with each other so that together we're stronger. Together we're mended. Together our relationships become stronger. They're more restored. They're more prepared. Because you know what? We were designed to be in relationship. Because when we are, we're stronger. We're stronger for him, and we're stronger for each other. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for reminding us that you are the master restorer. You are the master fisherman. We come to you when we're holy. That's when we're filled with holes. So that you can make us holy. That is, set apart and strengthened for your purposes. With the relationship we have with you and with each other as your church, we can not only prevail in the rough waters of this life, but we can fulfill your purpose for us. And that is to bring more and more people to know you as our Savior. And that's what this life is about. Thank you for always being here to mend us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.